again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the streets of Chicago. I look to my right, and lo and behold, it's the great one, Doug Tonis. We are back, brother. We got some Bulls basketball to talk about. How you doing, my friend?
I am living the dream. I can't wait to talk about the grainy block video you sent me over text message. You can now explain to me who Pat Williams is in the video of like the four red blocks and what I was supposed to see. It's going to be riveting, I'm sure.
So for those who are wondering what we're talking about, in preparation for this show, I sent Doug a couple of Zapruder-like films that I took from my Apple 13 iPhone, and I actually film them. I get up and walk over to my large TV and film it, and then send it over for dissection by you. But you didn't seem to understand what I was sending over, so I guess it was all fruitless. Is that correct?
I think just you got to send it over WhatsApp. When you send it over text, it just gets compressed too much. But all right, I'm sure you'll explain it to me. I'm sure your point will be amazing, and I'll agree 100%, as I always do with everything you say.
Maybe I should start out with this. Did you watch the game,
yeah, of
number
course.
One and number two? Of course. Any thoughts? Any initial
thoughts?
Yeah,
I mean, Coby White looked really good, and yeah, that's my initial thought. I don't know that there is like a whole lot else to, you know, like there were times where I thought Pat Williams looked a little bit more assertive and aggressive, but then times where he just looked like
really?
His normal self. And, you know, the big three I thought were all really pedestrian, but I mean, they're like veterans and it's a preseason game. And I don't really care what they look like in a way. I mean, I don't know if you disagree, but I don't know that DeRozan, Vooch, or Zach are going to show me anything meaningful in preseason.
Oh, agreed.
So,
yeah, I don't expect that much. But I did notice this. I did want to immediately start out with this. I thought they did make a point of getting the ball to Vucevic quite a bit, primarily in a pick-and-roll action. He was out on the court for 17 minutes. I think I stopped counting at about six pick-and-rolls, where they were basically getting him in an action where he was sending a pick at the top at the three-point line, and immediately the Bulls would feed it to him, and he'd have to make a decision at right around the free throw line on whether or not to take it to the rim or pass it out. I thought he had a number of really nice passes there. He's a good passer, Vooch. But I thought he needed to be far more aggressive in that position. Like, there's nothing wrong with a free throw line jumper from Vooch. Like, go ahead, take that shot if it's wide open. And I felt like he only took three shots in 17 minutes despite getting his hands on the ball quite a bit. Getting a lot of opportunities. He passed on one wide-open three-pointer. I just couldn't believe it. He basically threw it over to, I can't recall who, for a contested one. I think it might have been Coby. But regardless, you know, it was pretty clear that there was a change in the offense to try to get the ball to Vooch, you know, running downhill towards the basket and letting him make a decision. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we got a whole lot out of it, to be honest with you. Yeah, we'll see.
Sounds like you're thrilled with the new direction.
I mean, it's a preseason game. Like I honestly just don't know. You know, like it's easy to overhype what happened because it's the first basketball we've seen in forever. But you know, the second preseason game you watch, like Kobe's going to shoot like 0-for-10, and the fact that he was great in this one will get overlooked, and whatever, Zach will be 9-of-9 from three, or like whatever, like just stupid, totally different things will happen. You know, like, yeah, Javon Carter will be a complete stud next game. And it's preseason. You know, it's just there's a lot of up and downs. You could see they were trying some new things. You could see they weren't connecting on all of them yet. You know, I kind of overall liked the look of what I saw out of Craig and Carter, even though I don't know that they were, like, spectacularly effective. I kind of liked what I saw of them anyway. I think they're going to be pretty solid additions. But, you know, like I said, it's just too early to tell with everything. You know, like we were at halftime up by 3 points playing a Bucks team that was, you know, resting their best three players on a top-heavy team. So, you know, like that wasn't great. But, you know, whatever. I thought overall, maybe I'd say this too. The shot quality, I said this on Twitter, that we got was pretty high relative to the amount of makes we had. Like, I don't think we shot the ball very well relative to the shot quality we generated.
Agreed.
And so I think that's overall a pretty good sign. You know, we got a lot of open threes. Like Zach missed a couple like wide open threes early. You know, I just I feel like overall we were getting like good shots, especially like in the first quarter. And that was a good quarter. We scored 31 that quarter. It was maybe the best offensive quarter. But they, 30. But they had like wide open looks in like their first like 7-8 looks. And I think only hit like 3 of them. So, you know, some good things out there today. But just a preseason game. Nothing to get too excited about yet.
I'm pretty excited about Coby White. I thought he played fantastic, 14-6-6 in only 22 minutes. And as I've said many times over the summer and at the end of last year, the last 23 games from the All-Star break on, he shot the ball at a very high rate from three. He's getting better every year. He's improved every year. And this is a guy that people forget had a serious arm injury or shoulder injury, I think, in his third year. Missed a lot of that basic the entire offseason. But it's clear, and you saw it also in the post-game comments from Billy Donovan in a really good sequence. I encourage everyone to go see it. It should be on Darnell Mayberry's Twitter feed because he was the one who asked the question. That was a really good section where Billy was just talking about how much Kobe's improved his handles. And his improvement is in every facet of his game. It's also in his ball handling, his passing, and his defense. He plays with high energy. I just love the kid. I'm glad they're giving him a chance to start. I'm totally fine with Carter coming off the bench. I think Carter will be fine with it too. And the delta between Carter and what we had last year and Gordon, Tragic, it's just like a mountain. And I think there's going to be significant improvement in that second unit. You can already see it with just the way Carter and Craig coming off the bench. It's just better than where we were last year, what say you?
Yeah, I mean, we totally killed it out there today, losing to a Bucks team without their best three players. I could see why you have so much optimism rolling off, you know, your shoulders. Like I said, it's a preseason game. I agree. Like, so
You're a special one, Doug.
Everything you said, I think, is true. Like, I think we should have a much better second unit. But, like, I don't think anything that happened today made that true. You're just, like, projecting the thoughts you had going into this game onto this game. Like, that's, I mean, and I agree. Kobe was by far the best player for the Bulls out there on the court. And, you know, the exciting thing about that is, like I said, you kind of ignore the big three and you figure, like, whatever, they're going slow. Like, Kobe still has a chip on his shoulder, probably has something to prove. And so he's playing maybe with a bit more fire than our veteran players are. And so when the real games start, you know, if Kobe can play at this pretty high level and then everyone else picks up to where they need to be, you know, that's a pretty exciting thing. So I think there's a lot more good to take out of this game than bad. But, you know, we still were basically playing 50-50 ball with the Bucks missing Middleton, Antetokounmpo, and Lillard. Which, you know, ultimately was not an exciting, you know, piece of things. But I like the shot quality we got. I thought we got a lot of open shots. I thought we defended pretty well most of the night. So, yeah, like I said, still more good than bad for me, but, like, nothing that out of the ordinary.
I think LaVine, DeRozan, and Vooch, we know we're pretty much going to get from those guys. I do expect to see a little bit of a decline in DeMar and Vucevic, they're approaching their mid-30s, and that's what happens when you get that old. You can't expect them to continually play at a relatively high level compared to other people in that position. But, you know, Coby White, Patrick Williams, Io, one of those three really needs to take a jump. And I'm excited because I do feel like Coby, I felt, at the end of last year, started to do that. What we saw this today, again, if he can take that next step up, it's really going to help this team potentially better than what we expected. Where it's going to bring us, I don't know. Patrick Williams, let's comment on his performance today. I mean, I'm just not excited. I just saw more of the same thing. He's a fine role player. He had some really nice moments in one-on-one defense. He also, though, I saw plenty of what I always see with him. Low motor, plays a lot from the three-point line, a lot of jogging, three-point line to three-point line. Doesn't attack the basket with ferocity. I heard a stat from Hummel, who was giving credit to Patrick Williams for a initial like steal that was actually DeMar DeRozan who tipped the ball, and he kept on talking about it throughout the game. I'm like, I don't even know why he kept on referring to it. It was DeRozan who did it, but regardless, he had a stat that last year Patrick Williams missed 22 dunks and shot 49% at the, in layups. Like, that cannot happen again. He's just got to get better at finishing at the rim, and his go-to move has pretty much been fake, go into a contested mid-range jumper. We just need him to attack the rim with more ferocity, and I don't know. I saw a little bit more, I guess. I think you kind of alluded to it too, but you know, it's nothing like nothing that some of his most ardent supporters seem to think in terms of like greatness.
I want to bring up two separate points. I'm going to talk about Patrick, and I have another question on Kobe. So on Pat Williams, let me just say this. He had some good moments, like you posted one of them on Twitter, you know, where he closed out. Was that on Ty Washington, I think, at the end of a possession? You locked him down, yeah. So it was a nice moment, one-on-one, you know, taking a guard on the perimeter, you know, forced him into a really bad shot. So that, you know, that was nice to see. Not that Ty Washington has blown up people left and right or anything, but, you know, good closeout defense. Good one-on-one defense. And he was 3 of 6 from the three-point line, which I assume we both think is fantastic, right? If you got that every night at Pat Williams.
Well, he banked one in. In fairness, he banked one in. I don't know if you saw that.
He called glass. He was 2 of 6. He called glass. All right. But whatever. He was 3 of 6 from the three-point line, and yeah, okay, he banked one. But whatever. You get some lucky bounces here and there.
Sure. It was good.
He's a good three-point shooter, generally, right? We're not discounting that. So if what you have out of Pat Williams is a guy who's a good one-on-one defender and a good three-point shooter, like, that's fine. Like, people clamoring, like, oh, his go-to move is to dribble into, like, a mid-range contested jumper, like you said, and I agree, that's his go-to move. And he had, like, a drive where he, like, tried to drive in and they just got, like stopped by, I don't know who, but, like, just looked like a deer in headlights. And he only shoots 49%.
I remember that. He kicked it out.
Only 49% at the rim and missed 22 dunks. Like, just stop pretending he's going to do other stuff. Like just lean into what he's good at. You're out here to play defense and shoot open threes. Like he's just not going to be a go-to scorer. Like, he's never been a go-to scorer. He wasn't a go-to scorer in high school. Wasn't one in college. Why do you think he's going to be one in the NBA? Why does anyone think this? Like we're going to year four. Like, I don't even know why this is a consideration. And honestly, I don't think many people do think it's a consideration. So anyway, all I'm going to say is, like,
I think there's more than
I agree with,
more than we'd care to admit,
everything you said about Pat Williams, except I'll just add into, if he just leans into the things he's good at, that's okay. I wish you would be better on the glass, like I think, and I think we both do. Like, if he just was like assertive on rebounds, right, and then did these other things,
right,
you'd be really happy with him, even if he couldn't create off the dribble, even if he wasn't a great cutter or whatever. Like, if he's a great three-point shooter, a great defender, and a rebounder, you'd be okay with that. He'd be like a $25 million player. But sadly, he's not a great rebounder. But even still, with just those two things, I think he's very serviceable and very useful. So, you know, that's kind of...
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, but he's not going to be great.
You just got to stop pretending.
Yeah,
like,
just stop pretending. Like, the thing is, he has no skills. He has zero skills that would make you think he's going to be more than this offensively. Like, I don't know why anyone thinks this. It's like they were sold this when we drafted him, and people think it. Like, he cannot dribble. Like, he cannot move left and right. He has terrible court vision. He has no skills. He is not a great athlete. Like, he's a good athlete, but he's not like LeBron James or Antetokounmpo out there. Like, he's not some superstar athlete. There's absolutely zero reason to think he would ever be a dominant offensive player. Didn't do it in college or high school. Doesn't have any skills. Doesn't have, like, some crazy athletic advantage. This was just hopes, dreams, and cocaine or driven something. You know, like, it just makes no sense that anyone would ever think this.
It makes sense because everybody was so excited about Acme showing up, and this is the guy they drafted at number 4 overall, and they sent away Lauri Markkanen because this is our new power forward. And everybody just wants to believe that Gar and Pax were so dumb, and these new guys are so smart.
Well,
and
we know
so
that's
we
not
saw
true.
It in his rookie year, Doug. We saw it in his rookie year.
Yeah. Well,
we saw every time he played, He was not good in his rookie year, and yet you saw the dumbest comments. He looks like he belongs out there. He looks like it was the most ridiculous coverage of a player who did nothing. He did nothing. He was terrible his rookie year.
I didn't
He's
see
improved
much of that.
Now. I'm fine.
I didn't see much of people saying that. But anyway, it doesn't matter. I know there are people who's like, just give him time, give him time. And still, we'll give him time. Like, look, I'm not saying he can't ever develop. I'm just saying at this moment in time, he would need to make just dramatically radical leaps to develop. Now I just want to get back to Coby White. I want to forget about this because you said something that I thought was interesting about Coby. And you said, like, you think he can level up his game. And I agree that of the young players you mentioned, Coby is the one I think is most likely to take the step forward because we've seen these iterative improvements throughout his career so far. And what I see with Coby is, even though it didn't show up in the stat sheet last year, like everyone saw, this guy is handling the ball much better. You know, like his first years, I used to like call him like the drunken warrior when he was dribbling because he just looked like he was on the verge of losing control of the ball with every dribble. And now he just seems like so much more in control of what he's doing. His court vision out there looked really nice today. I thought he had a lot of really good passes. Like the one where Agreed. He was like flying out of bounds and like clearly got caught in the air where he didn't want to, but then found Torrey Craig on the basket cut was really nice. So I thought Coby, I agree with you. I think he's the guy who could take a step up. You know, Io, I don't think we saw anything today that made us think that, but I'm also not giving up on Io being a guy who can step up too. And like Pat, I just think he kind of is who he is. And as soon as we realize that and try to stop trying to make him be more than he is, I think he'll settle down into a pretty valuable player. But getting back to Coby, when you say you think he'll level up, give me an example of a player at the level you think Coby will be at by leveling up. Like, this is maybe not the exact same game, not the exact same floor game or whatever, but like as close as you can. Like, by Coby leveling up, I think he's now Tyler Hero. Or I think he's now whoever you think he is.
I think he's got the ability to be Bradley Beal. As good as Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal, if you look at him in his career, he's not like an incredible shooter. I don't have his stats in front of me, but I remember looking at his numbers. I'm like, well, this is, you know, this isn't incredible. You know, he's a great scorer. But like, if you look at their body types, they're both kind of similar. They're not that different. They're about the same size. I think he's got the ability to score at that level. He showed it as a rookie, but he's on a team where he's the fourth or fifth or sixth option. I think Kobe's just like most of the fans think his ceiling is far lower than I think it is. I think he can make an all-star team. I think he could be that good in a few years because I just feel like he's exponentially improved. And you touched on it. You agree with me too. Like the stats didn't show it, but we saw it, man. He was way better defensively. To me, that was like the biggest jump he took. Like, I didn't think he was a very good defender at all in year one and two. Last year, I thought he was a pretty good defender. I mean, he puts in the effort. He plays with a high motor. There's all those things I like. And I was just debating this with a friend the other day. Like, if you had a guy to take the last shot in a wide-open jumper, who would it be on the Bulls? A wide-open three-pointer.
Zach LaVine.
Who would it be? And I think... What's that?
Zach LaVine? Not even close.
Yeah, so would I.
Yeah.
No. I would say it's close. I said Zach LaVine, too. He's number one. Who's number two?
Wide open? Probably Pat Williams.
I don't trust Pat Williams down the stretch in a close game. I think Coby has zero fear.
If it's wide open, I like Pat Williams. I mean,
I don't. But you honestly feel more comfortable about Patrick Williams, who doesn't seem like who's a reluctant shooter
on a wide open jumper. Like, though he's not reluctant on wide open jumpers, and he's really good at.
He's pretty reluctant, Doug.
Yeah, well, that's because he does. Anyway, whatever. I agree with you. Coby is one of the better shooters on the team. So maybe let's. Instead of arguing semantics, yeah. I agree that Coby is
top shooters. Three, right? Like, is there anybody else you'd rather have shooting that shot? Like, and more importantly,
go ahead. Sorry.
More importantly, I just don't think he's the kind of guy who's afraid of the moment. Like, I never felt like he was the type of player that's like shrinking down the stretch of games. Like, I always felt like, all right, he's a guy who's going to take the shot and potentially hit big shots. In my head, I feel like he's hit as many big shots in close games as anybody else on this team outside of DeMar.
Yeah. I agree with you. I don't think Kobe will shrink in the moment. And he also plays hard on both sides all the time, regardless of what his role is. And, you know, I use this example, like last year, people were clamoring that like Pat Williams was going to have all this like offensive creation and do all this stuff and like develop. And I said, like, Pat Williams has less skills than Kobe White did as a rookie in terms of creating a shot on the basketball floor. Like, rookie Kobe White was a better ball handler and shooter, you know, an off-the-dribble creator and has better court vision than Pat Williams does. And, you know, that guy was not a guy you thought was just going to dominate, you know, as a shot creator. And now Kobe's gotten, you know, iteratively has tightened up all of those things even better. And now he's maybe he'll get there where he can actually create, you know, more offense. Either way, I like Kobe White this year. I don't think I could see him being Bradley Beal. But it's an interesting comparison. Yeah,
who would you say? Who do you see him or hope that he becomes?
Yeah. I guess it's hard for me to say off the top of my head, but like I threw out Tyler Hero as an example of a guy to you. And I feel like that's not a bad comparison to what I think Kobe White could be.
I think he's already better defensively. I think Tyler
Hero. I think he's better defensively than Tyler Hero. I agree with you there. But I mean, I think Hero is a better offensive player. He's a better shot creator. Probably similar level passer, maybe not quite as good as Kobe. Hard to say. Like, I don't know that Hero. I don't watch the Heat like religiously just to root against them or anything. So I don't know if Hero is mostly playing point guard, but I assume he's mostly playing shooting guard. But he does have the ball in his hands a lot. So maybe he doesn't have quite as many assist opportunities as Kobe might. But, you know, I'd say Hero is a little bit better creator and shooter than Kobe is. At least, you know, as Kobe was in the past few years. You know, but,
how about Derek White? Derek White of the Celtics is another name that kind of
Yeah, that's it's an interesting one, too, you know, because White is more of a two-way player than, like, Hero. And I guess the one thing you'd say is, yeah, if you look at White's numbers over his career, it kind of feels like Kobe could be more of a creator than Derek White. And, you know, historically, he's definitely a better shooter than Derek White, who's been kind of just a, I don't know, maybe like a 35% guy most of his career. Like, he's not been a, you know, just tremendous shooter his whole career or anything. So, you know, I'd say, honestly, I think he's probably better than Derek White already. I think Derek White just might be a little overrated, to be honest with you.
Really? I think Derek White's pretty good.
I mean, I think Derek White's pretty good, too.
Probably a better defender than Kobe.
Yeah, I agree. He's
but better defender. They're similar size, you know, and people forget Derek White's almost like 30 years old, you know. And Kobe was young when he came in the league. How old is Kobe? 23? Is he 22 or 23?
I would guess this is his 23 year, right? Fifth year, so he'd have 19.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Kobe's just a kid that just puts in a tremendous amount of work. Everything I've heard about him in terms of his work ethic, like people that I've talked to close to the organization, like no one works harder than him.
Yeah,
so I love to see guys like that succeed and develop. And I'm not saying that there's other guys. I honestly don't know who works that hard and who doesn't. But I think it's pretty consistently true. Most people you talk to, he's a good kid. He puts in a lot of effort to get better. And it's clear, it's evident that he's gotten better. And that only happens through hours and hours of hard work. So his ball handling, no doubt about it, is better. His defense is better. I think his passing is better. I don't know how he's done it, but like, I think you touched on it today with that one pass. He also had another pass that went out of bounds that I thought was Zach's fault, which was a really good no-look pass underneath. Like, he's just improved in every aspect of his game. I hope it continues. Regardless, I think we're both bullish on his progress, and I have no problem with him starting. Like, I don't even think that's like a big – why is this a big issue, or why should this be a big question mark? Like, he proved it to me at the end of last year that he could start, and I'm fine if he starts. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any problems with Kobe starting. I think he's the best point guard on the team. It's really just whether you want to stagger, you know, some of your scoring onto the bench. But you could start him – and you can stagger your bench scoring based on how you take guys out too. You know, and like you could take out Kobe early and then bring in Carter. And then, you know, like when you bring out DeRozan, you bring Kobe back in or like whatever, or vice versa, or however you want to do it. Like you don't, you know, you just want to keep your scoring staggered a little. But I mean, I think Kobe is in your closing lineup almost certainly as your point guard.
I thought it was interesting, and I read quite a bit that Billy was probably going to try to get more minutes with Williams on the second unit. And I noticed today the first sub was actually Craig in for Williams. When the second unit came in, still kept Craig out there. I would prefer if he gets Williams more time with that second unit. I think it'd be better for him. But, Doug, that second unit defensively has the capability. I mean, they had Caruso out there with Carter. I mean, you got to feel really good, and Craig, with those three on the perimeter. Rim defense is still going to be a problem. Drummond was out there, and he's never been known as like a great shot blocker or excellent defender of the rim. And Vooch was, you know, frankly, an embarrassment a lot today, I thought, in terms of defending the rim. And defensively, he's not going to get any better. That's still a major hole with the team, but I'm really excited when you see Caruso and Carter out there just dog, you know, playing dogged defense on the perimeter. I think that should be at least a recipe for some wins.
Well, I hope so. You know, I think one thing that's going to be interesting for this team is how it navigates injuries when they come up, because they have a really shallow team after their rotation. So I think they've got a really, really strong rotation and like depth in the rotation. Like they've got a really good 10 or so players, but you know, I posted on Twitter this, someone mentioned like depth seems to be a problem, and it's like your 14 players on this roster is probably what it's going to end up at the end of the day. And for those 14 players, you're going to have three of them be Julian Wright, Dalen Terry, and Lonzo Ball. And that means you got like 11 guys who can actually suit up and play. And I like Julian Wright. Like, I don't mean to rip on him when I say that. You know, sure. Dalen Terry clearly looks like he's not ready to do anything. And I think he's just never going to be ready. I think he's just a bust. I don't know if we want to talk about that or not.
Yes, no doubt.
You know, Julian Wright is a guy who's just 19, and I think he looks really intriguing, but he's not going to be ready this year, it doesn't look like. And it's going to need some time to grow his game, you know, which is true of most 19-year-olds. But a 19-year-old that slips to the second round probably is more likely to need time, right? So, you know, and then Lonzo clearly is not going to play. So it's like you basically got three spots killed. You know, and then I don't know if you're just hoping to get more out of your two-way guys. You know, Bidham looked pretty good in his few minutes against whoever the, you know, 15th to 18th men on the Milwaukee Bucks were. But, we'll see how it goes. It'd be interesting. If the Bulls stay, like, generally pretty healthy and they don't have more than, like, two of their rotation guys go down, that's not going to be a problem. But if they have a stretch where they've got like nagging injuries and, you know, three of their rotation guys go down all of a sudden, you're gonna dip into some pretty poor depth after that.
Yeah, if Dalen Terry wasn't picked, you know, 18th overall and a first rounder, I don't even think he'd be in the league. I mean, he hasn't shown anything. He was one of five today shooting again in 11 minutes. He had three fouls in 11 minutes. The guy's just an awful shooter. Every time he's gotten a chance on a pro court, I mean, he's had some decent nights, I know, at Windy City, but with the Bulls, the numbers speak for himself. And in summer league, and again today, 1 for 5 in 11 minutes. I mean, just a total disaster. And
yeah,
it's frustrating because there's obviously a number of good players that were picked after him, right in that area.
Right.
But I have no doubt. I mean, gosh, Doug, do you really believe if this guy was like a free agent or a second round, if he just wasn't a first round pick, he wouldn't be on this team? I don't even think he'd be in the league. Like, what have you seen from him that's more impressive than, you know, half the other guys that are barely, you know, trying to make this roster? Yeah. So
I said
it's so frustrating. I mean, the last thing the Bulls need is a guard who can't shoot.
I said earlier I wouldn't pick up his option. You know, like, I don't know if the Bulls picked it up.
Agreed.
I didn't actually see the news that they did or didn't. But I wouldn't pick up his fourth-year option. Like, there's just let it go. Just like, oh, well, this wasn't the guy. Like, I'm willing to take the chance that Dalen Terry is not going to bust out this year and just just let him go and he's salary ballast in a trade or something. Like, this is, I don't want him on the roster next year at like whatever the price tag is. I just, it's just not worth it. So that's,
well, yeah, he makes more than Torrey Craig. He makes like almost a million more than Torrey Craig. He makes more than Carlick Jones and he makes more than Julian Phillips. Like, yeah, he's not better than any of those players. Yeah. So it's frustrating. Go ahead.
Can I give you one just big picture? You know, I kind of mentioned this. Nothing in this game in general, I thought more good than bad in the way that the offense was able to generate kind of like open good looks, even if we didn't knock them all down. Kind of overall liked what I saw out of our new additions, even if the stats didn't back up great performance. I liked the activity that I saw from them, and I could see how they'll fit in well, you know, given normalized shooting over time. What was your big picture takeaway from this game? Did you feel better, worse, or the same about the Bulls after one preseason game compared to before this game?
I feel right about where I expected to feel. So, you know, I think I had a tweet that I felt like Kobe and Zach were going to approach ascend to greatness. I think Zach was 4-7 from the field, and, you know, he looked to be in very good shape, and that's all I wanted to see is him get in the game. He played 17 minutes. He had 9 points. He did a lot of Zach things, and he missed a few wide open jumpers that I think he's going to make most of the time. But still, 4-7 is rock solid. Kobe had a fantastic game. I felt good about those two and my prediction there. I thought Carter, one thing you got, they put up 35 three-pointers, which was a great sign based on their archaic play, you know, over the last few years. I think they were 13 at 35, which isn't a great percentage, but they actually beat the Bucks. I mean, overall, everything I saw jives with what I expected. Really good, solid perimeter defense. You know, a lot of their key players didn't play a ton. But I think when the season starts and you see Caruso's minutes go up significantly and Carter, who I loved out there, he was 3-7, but I just love the way he plays. He plays hard. I feel really good. I feel really good. The one negative, unequivocally, is, I mean, their rim defense, their interior defense is not strong. And I highlighted a blow-by that Vooch had on a one-on-one defense that I sent to you. I don't know if you had a chance at least to see that
one. Well, Brook Lopez is just too fast.
He was one-on-one on Lopez, and Lopez just blew by him, laid it up. It was like, oh, my gosh. And that, you know, the decline is happening with him. And defensively, that's going to be something that will be a problematic, I think, for the team all year. They just don't have enough interior defenders that can protect the rim. Kind of found myself kind of wondering, you know, if we could have gone with Jones again or, you know, Jones Jr. or somebody – at least provides a little bit of that. That was the only negative. But overall, I would say positive. What say you?
I think overall I feel about the same, which is that we're probably a 500-ish team. You know, maybe slightly above that is probably about how I feel after this game. So about the same as well. But like I said, more good than bad for me out of this game overall. I was, yes, just happy also to have basketball back. You know, it's nice to sit down and watch a basketball game again.
I did want to highlight one other quick thing, or a few other quick notes. Patrick Williams, 3-6 from three. Zach, DeMar DeRozan, 1-1 from three. Io, 2-4 from three. Three really key players. I know DeMar doesn't shoot a lot of threes, but I was hoping that would finally, in his middle 30s, he'd maybe try to bring that shot a little bit more into his repertoire. But regardless, if Io and Williams can continue at that level, it's going to be a good year. That's a big if, but I really liked what I saw.
Yeah.
Big picture from shooting to three.
Can I throw one thing out there? Everyone keeps talking about how the Bulls need to shoot more threes. And I think that's fine, and I agree. But the reason their offense regressed was not so much about three-point shooting. So the Bulls are ninth in half-court efficiency, which is where you get most of your threes. And they were like amongst the best in the league in effective field goal percentage. Where they really lacked was getting to the free throw line and getting fast break points. Like in offensive rebounds. Like those three kind of like areas are areas of tremendous efficiency. So open threes are, you know, less efficient than transition attempts and less efficient than offensive putback attempts. So open threes are like great though. You know, it's like a super highly efficient shot and people have focused on that and they've lost track of the fact that we're also really bad at three other things that cause tremendous efficiency. And because we actually shoot the ball pretty effectively percentage wise from three, we're not losing like so many points a game there. And because we're by far like the best 2-point jump shooting team in the league, like we don't actually lose that many points by those threes because we're so efficient on the twos. But where we are losing a lot of points is not getting the transition baskets, not getting the free throw attempts, not getting as many offensive rebounds. So I just think people are like, I agree the 3-point shooting thing is important. I don't want to say it's not, but I think people have overemphasized that and underemphasized these other characteristics of like highly efficient offense that we're not good at.
Well, I don't think they're going to change it with the offensive rebounding because obviously tied into that is how good they are on the defensive transition. And I think they were one of the best teams in terms of.
And you look at the personnel too.
Transition defense.
Right?
Exactly.
Like Pat Williams and Vucevic aren't offensive rebounders. Like Vuce is a great defensive rebounder, but he's not a good offensive rebounder. Patrick Williams is just not a rebounder. So they don't really have great personnel for offensive rebounding. And like I don't know that
either, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know that any of the things I mentioned are going to change. I'm just saying pinning all your hopes on a massive change in offensive efficiency just around 3-point shots, if you don't fix these other areas too, probably is going to leave you disappointed.
I agree with a lot of what you just said. I always stated that this idea that we should get rid of DeRozan when he is so responsible for a lot of our efficiency due to the fact he gets to the line so much and generates points at the line at a high percentage with an excellent free throw percentage. It's like if you took him off the roster, if he missed any amount of significant time, it'd be just Zach and who else? Like no one else gets to the line. It's a major issue. Vooch never gets to the line. Patrick Williams never gets to the line. I mean, you'd like to see a little bit more aggressiveness. Obviously, taking the ball to the rim and going up strong would probably yield more free throws for Patrick, but there's just getting to the line is a byproduct of having a player who's able to beat someone in a one-on-one scenario, and the Bulls just don't have a ton of those guys outside of Zach and DeMar. Just a fact.
It's just true, yeah. Pat doesn't have enough ball handling. Like, the end is he can't beat his guy off the dribble. He can't get the first step and turn the corner. And so, you know, he can always get stopped at the point of attack. And that's really the end of it.
I agree. His ball handling isn't strong enough to get through a lane to the rim, which... Yeah.
He can't create a lane that doesn't exist. If he gets a step, then he's fine. But that requires someone else to create all the action for him. You know, Coby White is the other guy who you could see potentially ramping up his free throw attempts. You know, Coby can get it into the lane. So we have to see if he can start seeking contact. That would be another area that you could see Coby growing his game from where it is today. And, you know, I don't know that he's going to start doing that. He doesn't have particularly long arms, so he doesn't have great length when he goes in there. And he's not like this overly huge muscular guy. I mean, I think he's pretty strong for his size, but like he doesn't have this like physical body where he's just going to be throwing people out of his way, you know, like maybe like Derrick Rose relative to most point guards did. So I don't know that it would suit his strengths, but maybe if he can be shifty enough where he can get people like off balance and he can get some of those weak fouls, we'll see. But I mean, he's the other guy that at least has a chance.
I agree with you. If you told me right now that this upcoming season, Coby White is third on the team at free throw attempts, I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised. In fact, he is such a good free throw shooter too. I don't think he missed a free throw from February on. He shot 100% from February on. And if you have him, Zach, and DeMar DeRozan getting to the free throw line with any bit of regularity, it's going to be a good season. It is a major issue, so I think we have touched on that. I did one more topic I want to talk about before we wrap this up. We're already at 40 minutes. I want to talk about we didn't have a show since, I mean, right before our last show. I think it was our last show, we were talking about whether or not to go after Holiday.
Yeah.
Obviously, he went to Boston, which is just, well, I don't know if you feel this way. I think Boston's now almost there. Might even be better than Milwaukee. They're both right there, 1 and 2. Boston, obviously, much superior on the defensive end. I think the Bucks are going to be just a monster to guard. But what say you about that trade, number one? And number two, how disappointed were you? I know I was when I saw the final tally of the trade and said to myself, you know, the Bulls could have probably beat this. I felt like they should have. And why weren't they more aggressive in making that deal? What say you?
What do you think the Bulls could have done that would have beaten that deal?
Patrick Williams, an unprotected number, future number one, and handing Portland their pick back to allow them that flexibility. So those two. So a future unprotected under one, Patrick Williams, and giving that pick back.
Also have to throw Caruso in the deal.
I think I would have done that. What's that?
You also have to put Caruso in the deal.
For salary reasons?
If you don't put Caruso in the deal, the Bulls are in the luxury tax. We know that wasn't going to happen.
No, if that's the reason why, then...
But I'll say this. I don't think that deal you made beats Boston's deal.
Why do you feel that way?
I feel like Boston's deal... Like, so they have... They gave them two unprotected firsts already, which is, I think, higher value than the picks we have. And then I think Malcolm Brogdon...
Yeah, but it's this year.
What's that?
Right?
One is the Warriors' pick from this year, and one is their pick from like 2029 or something. I think the players they got back are better than the players we would send. So I think like Malcolm Brogdon and Robert Williams can both probably get them first round picks in trade, and they got two unprotected firsts. I mean, our pick from them, it gives them some flexibility back, so I could see why they definitely would want it, but it could easily be a second rounder. You know, or so I just don't think like that was a great, I don't think your offer was enough. Like, I think if we made that offer, they wouldn't take it.
I feel though, even if they didn't make that offer and the Blazers said, yeah, we're high in Pat Williams, and we like him a lot. I think you can make an argument.
Why do you think they would be high in Pat Williams? Why would anyone that is not in love with the Bulls be high in Pat Williams?
Let's go through the positives again. He's a good one-on-one defender. He's a 40-plus three-point shooter.
Yeah, he's a role guy. He's a role guy.
He's a young guy.
Yeah, but he's a guy who needs a new contract next
year. So are the guys
year.
They got.
He's a free agent next year.
So are the
year.
Guys they got.
They can flip Brogdon probably for a first right away. And, you know, Robert Williams is better than Pat Williams, in my opinion. And he's on a great deal.
I don't think they're going to get a first for Brogdon. I don't think that's going to happen.
Maybe. Who knows? But we'll see. Either way, I think they got better picks in the deal they got. They got better players. Like, Pat Williams has zero trade value. Zero. No one wants him because he's not ready to contribute now, and he's going to require a massive contract that's going to be too much money in the offseason. No one wants him. He has zero value.
Just for argument's sake, let's just assume the Blazers wanted him. Let's assume the Blazers would say yes to that deal I mentioned. I honestly think this organization, the Bulls leadership, would say no.
Yeah,
because
they put it in
luxury
tax. Because
they're Patrick Williams.
I don't think they care.
No, even luxury tax aside, like the stuff I hear, Patrick Williams is off the table. We're not trading Patrick Williams. It's like, are we freaking nuts? Like, I honestly feel they value him that highly.
If we gave up an unprotected 2029 pick to try and push this team of mediocrity into the second round one time before basically everyone ages out, I'd be ready to drive off a cliff. I'd drive the bus right off a cliff. I'd have been so mad.
Like, no, fine. You're not.
Boston like gave up a lot of their future, like to try and bolster their current core. That's fine because Boston might legitimately win the title this year and has every right to think that they can. The Bulls are not going to do that. Not with Justin Holiday, not without Justin Holiday.
I don't want to relive our arguments on the last show. I do feel the Bulls were a top three team with Holiday, at least in the argument.
I don't care if they're a top three team because the two above them are so much above them. It's ridiculous. And you're talking top three in the East, not top three overall. They would be third in the East at absolute best. And they would be like so close to like 4, 5, and 6. And like so far away from 1 and 2.
Biggest concern about this season, and I saw it a little bit today, is that if Vucevic falls off defensively, as far as I'm concerned that he may, we're going to be a disaster on the interior defensively, and it's going to cost us a significant amount of
Justin
wins.
Holiday wasn't going to
Outside of that, I feel really good about their perimeter defense and their ability to score. I'm excited about this team. I'm really excited. I just hope we can hold up on interior defensively.
Yeah.
So it sounds like big picture. I mean, are you in agreement? Like, if you had a bet right now, which one of those two teams, Milwaukee or Boston? I mean, no one else is in their league. You would concur.
Yeah, yeah. Those two teams are head and shoulders above
the East.
Yeah.
And so, out of those two, who would you, if you had a bet right now, who would you say is going to win it?
I'd take Boston right now.
So would I. So would I. I think they're more likely to stay healthy. They have a younger team.
They're more upside too, right? Like
better defensively.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, more upside.
Just think of like Tatum, Brown, Holiday, and Derek White as your perimeter defenders. Like when they're all plugged in an important moment, and even Porzingis, if he's healthy, is a shot blocker back there. Like, that's a team
that's pretty darn good.
That's a team that's got some options on both ends. You know, like.
Yeah, you could switch everywhere almost. It's just
and you got a 7-3 guy behind
interesting
you.
Team.
You know, like, and I'm not saying Porzingis is like all NBA defensive, but like he's not a complete stiff back there. You know, like he's
a much better rim defender than, you know, most of the players in the East.
Yeah, he can block some shots back there and erase some stuff. Just like, especially because you're so good at the point of attack, and you just have a really big tall guy back there. You know, who's mobile enough? Like, I think Boston, if they stay healthy, is better than Milwaukee if they stay healthy.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But it's close.
It's going to be an awesome season.
Yeah, it'd be really close. It's also so hard to figure out, like, how do you do anything to stop Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo? Like those two on offense combined, like, oh my God. It's like an insane proposition. So, like, well, I'm throwing Boston some props because I feel like they're so solid, like 1-5 on both ends of the floor. Like just the immense inability to stop just those two guys on Milwaukee just seems insane to me. Like, I don't know what you do with either one of those guys. You're like triple teaming Lillard like 40 feet from the basket. And then what are you going to do when they just toss the ball to Giannis? Like, it's going to create some like really insane stuff.
Yeah. And I know there's a lot of people concerned too about, well, you know, Milwaukee defensively on the perimeter. Yeah. Well, they still got Lopez and Giannis covering the paint, right? Just with those two guys alone, like, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine, like, defensively. You're going to be able to hang in there if they score as many points as I expect they will. Yeah. But you're right, man. I'm really excited just to see that. I hope both teams stay healthy. I just want to see, you know, everybody do well. And, you know, like I said, I'm bullish on the Bulls. I think they're right in that 3-6 range, probably 7. I know some people are laughing at that, but I think they're right there with Cleveland. I don't think they were that far behind Cleveland and New York and Philadelphia is probably ahead of them if they're healthy and Harden ends up showing up and actually playing hard.
Yeah, that doesn't.
What are the odds of that? I mean, that could be a disaster too.
I mean, I think Philly is better even if they don't have Harden, and I think Philly will probably move on from Harden before the season starts, but we'll see. I would say I would pick the Bulls as 7th, and I would say I would be very surprised if they finished higher than 5th. But I would put their range, like their upside range to me is probably around 5. And, you know, I'd say their downside range, I guess your downside range is always like near the bottom, because your downside, if you're like near the bottom, it's usually because a bunch of guys got hurt. You know, and like that can just take out any team, right? Like if you just, for whatever reason, sure, you have the worst case scenario for injuries, you can be really bad. But assuming a relatively healthy season, I can't see them being worse than 8th. You know, so a healthy Bulls team, I think, is 5-8 in that range. And, you know, unhealthy, you know, that there's no floor for any team when you go unhealthy, right? Like, The Bucks could lose Giannis and Lillard in the opening game, and they would all of a sudden be one of the worst teams in the East. Like, there's no floor when you account for injury. So, I'd say a healthy Bulls team is in the 5-8 range to me. I would pick them as 7 if I was picking, you know, today.
DT, regardless where they end up, I enjoy every bus ride with you as we bring in the glorious Big Red Bus. One final note: I'm redoing the Chicago Bullseye.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody, I hope, gets excited about it. It's pretty cool. I'm really excited, pretty cool about it. It's been kind of like I haven't had time coaching my son over the last, you know, basically 10 years, but this is the first time now where I have actually had time. I'm going to post some thoughts of greatness on there. I got Pauly G, a couple of you met Pauly.
Yeah. Big Vooch fan, Pauly G.
Good dude. Big Vooch fan, unfortunately. Yes. And then also Tim Gallagher, the Bulls historian, are going to post stuff on there. I'd love to have you if you ever want to jump on there, throw something on the Bullseye. It's fine. But
right, so
I want it to be a positive corner of Bulls fandom with some very high-end thoughts. And I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be fun. So I don't know. We'll see how it works out. But everybody, check out the Chicago Bullseye. Maybe not tomorrow, but sometime later this week after I start populating it with some incredible content.
Why would you ask me to post there if you want it to be a positive corner? Yeah,
I would love for you to. I just assumed. Doug, honestly, if you want to post on there, I'd love to put a section on there. I just assumed that you were. You always do this stuff with Real GM, right? Isn't that where most of your stuff
well,
is?
Well, yeah. I mean, I found? It's all forum posts there. It's not a blog, but so just to be clear, you're bringing back the Chicago Bullseye as a blog, and not as a podcast.
Oh no, I'm going to do both. I'm going to do the whites. So kind of like you do the Bulls beat. As your solo project.
You're going to do a
I'm
solo.
I'm going to do the Chicago Bullseye. I'm going to do the Chicago Bullseye more like a historical one, and then the Big Red Bus is you and me together.
There
know,
we go.
Pretty much every time we go out on there, and so yeah, more so the site. I want the site to be something that I'm proud of. That I, you know, one day I could look back and say, "Wow, look what we did for 5, 10, 20, 25 years. Look at all the great stuff we posted on there, and we kind of brought some sanity and intelligent thoughts to the Bulls universe."
Great.
Whatever small corner.
Get some AI to make you some real graphics. You can put that up there.
AI. I got AI helping me with that.
You can write articles for AI. You, too. You can have the whole thing. You just feed in the box score.
I would love to have you just post your thoughts there occasionally. In fact, let's do it. You're coming on, man. I just
said AI. Stuff. How did you get this to me writing stuff for you?
You might be AI for all I know, Doug. You're just an AI.
Doug GPT.
All these times you've been a robot. All these great thoughts have always...
I fed all of my articles from... You know, Bulls Confidential into ChatGPT, and now it writes new articles about the Bulls in my voice.
All right, brother. I'm bringing it in now, man. Always good to talk to you, DT. Until next time, let's go, Bulls.
Go, Bulls.